but you said you'd never go in there.
By never, I mean once.
All right. Good. good.
Wait, just hold on. Before we try to come up with something funny, I'm going to answer my wife's question. What was your question?
Are you scared yet? No.
No, we're just trying to get something super hilarious.
I'm definitely sleeping upstairs.
Okay. Love you.
Love you.
All right. Is that a cold open right there?
That sounded like a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Are you married to Meg Ryan?
I just dropped my microphone.
Hello and welcome to episode 173 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam? And make it good this time.
Okay. Nothing. Nothing's going on over here. Yeah. Yeah. By the time this airs, we'll have been for family fun time. So tomorrow we've got stuff going on. We're going to go down to a place called Great Wolf Lodge, which is in Washington, kind of getting close to the Oregon border for what is a indoor hotel, water park, kind of fun, family, fantastic event.
What town is that in?
I don't know what the actual town is.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Off the... Mount Washington. What is it called?
Grand
Mound, Washington. You can see it from the I-5. It's a huge structure.
Okay. I've never been. So it's indoor water slides you're going to.
Yeah. Lots of cool water slides and a wave pool and all kinds of water fun. So, and there's a big animatronic like story time thing, almost like something you'd see out of Disneyland. And
so, okay, wait. When I said, hey, make it interesting this time, you just ignored that and powered through.
No. I was thinking that there was an interesting photography tie-in because we're going to take, the only camera I'm going to take with me is my daughter's waterproof camera.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna try to get some neat video footage. Probably not a lot of stills, but some neat video footage from inside the water park. So I will cut together a little video, hopefully. It's nothing over maybe 2 minutes. And if it's half decent, I'll put it out there.
Wait, are you going to shoot with purpose? Like, I would think, because you're going for the weekend.
Yeah, we're only going one day at Great Wolf. We're doing basically a Great Wolf Friday, and then Saturday afternoon we're leaving and going to Seattle to catch a Mariners game Saturday night. So we're going to do that, and then we're
going to
come back.
And you're not taking your camera to that?
Not taking my camera, period.
You're not taking your camera to the Mariners game?
No.
Why not?
I want to watch the game with my kids. I don't really want to be snapping pictures.
Have your kids been to a Mariners game before?
They have not.
I'm going to suggest you reconsider.
And we'll have my daughter's point and shoot.
No, come on. Here's what I would do. Were I you?
All right.
You still have your 30mm lens?
Yeah.
Take the 30mm and the T whatever eye you have now.
Yeah, I have a T2i.
Right. Throw that in the bag, simply because. And just to get a family photo, a really good one, because the point and shoot is going to be fine, fully acceptable. It will, your faces will be in the photo, and you'll know where you are. But is it a night game or a day game?
It's 6 o'clock start, so it won't get dark until probably 8. I'm guessing now.
Right, but you are going to experience magic hour at Safeco, or I don't know, is it called Safeco still?
Yeah, it's still called Safeco.
At Safeco Field, magic hour, when those lights come on and the sun drops, and if especially if the roof is open, it is... I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about this. I mean, okay, to be fair, for me, baseball stadiums are cathedrals for me.
Yeah, okay. I've been to Safeco a number of times. It's probably about my fifth time going.
Right, and it is a beautiful stadium. Like the color of the grass, which sounds like a stupid thing to say, but just the way the color of the grass blends in with everything else, it is a wonderful place. And I think you're missing a great family photo opportunity. Throw that. You know, feel free to ignore me.
Okay. There's a good chance I will.
Yeah, it's a good chance. I would throw that setup. I wouldn't bring anything else. That, you know, your zoom lenses or nothing, because you see these people all the time. You know, with their kit cameras, trying to, you know, take flash photos of the guys at the plate.
Right.
And I think I've been that guy with the point and shoot. I don't know why I did that, but it you're not going to get anything that you're going to keep. You're not going to frame anything from, you know, your seat in the third deck. It's just not going to happen.
Yes. And even if I did take a fantastic picture, what am I going to do with that picture of someone playing in the major leagues? I'm pretty sure they have Sports Illustrated if I need that photo.
Well, that's the thing, is if you're sitting up in the, you know, row 12 in the third deck out in right field, look to your left, look to your right, you're not going to see any professional shooters out there.
No.
They're all down on the, you know, next to the dugout, getting foul balls ring, you know, smashed off their camera. So, but a picture of your kids and your family up there, that's something. So I don't know. I think it's worth it to bring that camera for that one, just for that one game. That's my suggestion. I would do it.
All right. Maybe I will. I didn't really just want one more thing to bring and mm-hmm. something to worry about, but yeah, I can bring the T2i and I won't be worried about it.
Yes. And because you're going to have, it's possible to do. I've never used the waterproof camera, but I'm guessing it's pretty rudimentary in its controls.
Yes, it is. Very basic.
But for you to dial in some really, really good, well-lit faces mixed with the wonderful glow of Magic Hour is going to be difficult to really yes. make it pop.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great opportunity because, like you say, your kids have never been there. I mean, it's one thing to go to the Canucks game. That's fun. Like, what's the new... Rogers?
Yeah.
Rogers Arena. It's that's an experience to go to. But it's not the same as going to Safeco.
True.
So there you go.
Whew. All right. Maybe you sold me.
I never had my digital camera, DSLR, when I went to Yankee. I took 35mm, black and white even. And in fact, I'm trying to think back. I'm trying to think I did take my SLR camera. I'm pretty sure. Now I'm not even sure if it was my point and shoot 35mm or not, because they had strict rules then. But I think you're fine. You know, you're fine taking a regular DSLR to a stadium now.
Okay.
45 more minutes on baseball.
Yeah, I shouldn't have brought it up.
I got rained out in Munich.
Oh no!
Not just me. Both teams did. It wasn't just, hey, we're going to play, Albert. It's pretty wet for you.
That's their way of telling you, take a long walk.
Yeah. Hey, why don't you go sit and make sure no one spray paints the bus? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we got woke up early. We had to leave early because driving to Munich is about the equivalent of you driving to Seattle.
Okay.
So for those of you at home, I'm going to say
two and a half hours
roughly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we'd get up early. We have like a noon start. And so, you know, and you got to have batting practice and all that stuff. So that means like getting at the park here at 6:30 and leaving. And that's not thrilling to me. But, you know, what are you going to do, right?
Right.
So we get it there and start. And I'm excited. I'm like, I bring my camera. I'm like, I'm going to document this road trip on the bus. I'm like, because it's been a long time since I've been on a bus road trip with the fellas. Like a long time.
Right.
And it's always a good time. It's like you saw Bull Durham, right? It's pretty much like that every single time out.
Right.
And not anymore. So we get on the bus and everyone, back in the day, you would throw on a movie, you'd throw on Field of Dreams on VHS, and everyone would yuck it up and have a good time, play some cards. And now everyone brings their iPhone and just listens to their music by themselves. And that's it. There's like zero interaction.
Where's the back of the bus poker game?
Doesn't exist anymore.
Wow, that's wrong.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to get involved in it because, you know, it's all right. Most like I'm by far the oldest guy on the team, so it's, you know, obviously I know my role. So I'm thinking, all right, I'm gonna you know, photograph this whole trip and I'm gonna make it, you know, a little photo documentary out of it. And so that was a bit disappointing when I snapped two pictures and now everyone's just sort of in their own little zombie-like state. And then
It wasn't then, like the bus trip in Almost Famous where everyone breaks out into a chorus of Tiny Dancer.
No. Oddly, it was Crocodile Rock, which I was like, whoa, no, it's the wrong one, man. Yes. Yeah. No, I do love that scene. And so, anyways, on top of that, so we get basically just to the, okay, if you're looking on the map, we hit the M in Munich. That's how far we got.
Okay.
And then we got the phone call. Oh yeah, game's rained out. Just turned around and drove right back. So we drove 2 hours there, 2 hours back.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, and I was wondering if why the cell phones didn't work when we were still in Stuttgart. Tübingen, really. That would have been much better, you know, to spend less time. But so there you go. So my whole idea of a photojournalism day fell apart.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Great. Great to hear.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did. I shot something interesting that I put a picture in the Dropbox so that we could post it. I haven't posted it anywhere yet, but I took a portrait of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that I wanted to do that I never, other than taking a few snapshots where they're engaged with the kids, but I kind of thought I wanted to take a nice portrait just for the two of them because it's something that that they don't really have. And in my mind, there was a photo that was done of my brother and I when we were, I want to say, I was probably 6 and he was 9 or 7 to 10, something in that realm, that was done at a studio. Mm-hmm. And it was like our faces, and it was kind of all black, but our faces were visible kind of coming out of the darkness. And so I kind of thought of that photo, and then I wanted to try to reproduce something of a similar nature. So I set out to do that. And as you can see, this is what I came up with. So this was a backwards couch, but I really wanted to make the backwards couch just kind of blend in with all the other black. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do it in camera. I didn't want to have to do a bunch of Photoshop on this. So this is all in camera. There's no trickery here and no post-production work. So
really?
This is in camera stuff. So basically, black photo paper in my living room, all the lights turned out. And the chair, the couch, as far away from the paper as I could get it. And because I didn't know if I'd get them completely in on the photo paper, and if there would be a little bit of edges on the sides, I wanted as much darkness as possible. So if I did have to clean any edges up, it would be really easy. Mm-hmm. Turns out I didn't have to. I just cropped it and I was good to go. But so I had the softbox with the grid on it, so again that I could really control keeping as much a light on them and away from the background. And then I used my two strip lights, homemade strip lights that I'd made, with being held by light stands, just one above and behind my dad to essentially create that shoulder separation from the background, and then one behind my mom, which was easier kind of because of the color of the shirt she's wearing. But my dad's shirt without the rim, I should have kept the other photos, but when I didn't use the rim, like he completely fades into the background.
Mm-hmm.
So that just that little light, which seems like nothing when you look at the photo, was huge in terms of creating separation and not needing to do a whole bunch of handiwork in Photoshop. So here's what I came up with, I was really happy with it, and my parents loved it. I got it printed and framed for them all in one day so that they could take it home. And so that was to me, that was something interesting.
It is interesting. Now, when I saw it, I've seen the picture on two different devices. That's the kind of dedication I bring to this.
Wow.
So I looked at it on my laptop, which is I guess much brighter or less contrast. I don't know what that would be, but and I can see the couch fully on my laptop.
Okay. Okay.
And then around your folks, I see sort of an edge of it looks like background. Like that. So it looked to me like you had gone in and basically sort of sloppily photoshopped it. And then now you tell me you didn't. I look at it on the iPad and it looks perfect.
So yeah, I'm looking on the iPad, and on the iPad I can't see anything.
No, absolutely not.
And on my monitor I can't see anything, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. Could be I probably have it turned up way too bright. So that was going to be my nitpick. I was like, I'm like, man, you could do a better job photoshopping. But then when you told me no photoshopping, now I was flummoxed.
And I couldn't see anything in the print either.
You won't. So the print, yeah.
Yeah, the print was good. In Photoshop, because I did go into Photoshop, and basically, because, like I say, the background is made up of the paper, but also some of the, like the paper didn't cover, I don't think, truly the whole background.
Mm-hmm.
So around the edges, there might be a little color change. I can't see it on my iPad or on my monitor screen.
Mm-hmm.
But again, depending on, like you say, if you've got different backlighting bright enough that maybe you will see some of that difference between where the paper is and where there is no paper.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not see it, and so did not feel the need to do any extra work on it. And then my computer screen, I can't see the couch other than a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit,
mm-hmm.
which I was fine with because I didn't think it would show up in print either.
Yep, absolutely. And that's the thing, is that's why, I mean, I have my screen calibrated as well, but still, how is that? You know, maybe I need something to calibrate my calibrator. Who knows? at that point, I'm not going to bother. But I generally know that that's going to fall off in a print. I know what the contrast is going to look like in a print. And so, yeah, it's going to show up just fine.
And my takeaway from this is that, well, you need a couple of lights. I don't see how you do this with one light unless you're using a different color background. But and then, or maybe using some ambient light or light from a lamp or something to create that separation.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a relatively easy shot. Now, the other key thing was my dad had different colors on, and so I basically asked him to switch. He had other shirts in the suitcase. They stayed with us for the weekend, and so I particularly wanted him to wear something that contrasted with what my mom wore, just again to create that separation. So I had her put on the white sweatshirt, which was Lisa's, and then I had him put on a shirt that I thought would go well together because I envisioned this, how to bring it away from the background. And so mm-hmm. that was key, because he had a completely black shirt on, did not work. My mom had a bright pink or something shirt on, did not work. The color combinations are key in this kind of portrait.
Absolutely. Now, the other key is two things is, if you can, try to have a lot of space to shoot in.
Yeah.
Like if you have, because that's one of the tricks here is if you have your background far away, all of a sudden it could be white. It's going to show up black. You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously you don't have that luxury, but the other thing is, and this is something I've wanted to pick up and I just never get around to, and I don't think it's particularly cheap, but I would like a big sheet of black velvet simply for this, just to do these kind of portraits.
Yeah.
And they're much easier to keep black, but I don't think they're giving them away. I don't think they're about $3 or $4. I think they're expensive.
Well, and a lot of people use the black photo paper, but I only have whatever it is, a 6-foot roll, and not the 9-foot roll, because the 9-foot roll I literally could not get in my vehicle.
Right.
So really it's not that functional for me, the 9-foot roll. So more or less what I do is usually use the smaller roll, and then if I have to, just extend the black mm-hmm. or white or whatever out in Photoshop.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. That's it's not cheating, buddy. It's all good.
There you go. So, but and the other thing, posing tip was for this kind of shot is when, I mean, again, this is my parents, so they're pretty good as far as taking my advice on how to pose. But the head tilt, I did a couple with the head tilt and a couple without. And this kind of shot, especially shooting a couple, longtime married couple, head tilt in towards each other, to me, is what makes the photo. It just gives it a completely different feel than if their heads are both upright, which is how they would naturally want to take this photo.
Right.
They had to be coaxed, but I like how it brings a little shadow between the two. And yeah, for anybody out there shooting couples, try to tilt them together, just if for nothing else, is just to give yourself a different look at the photo.
And go ahead and see, I'm really particular about symmetry, just in life, not even in photography, just in life. I have this odd, it's almost like a sort of a Rain Man kind of thing.
Okay.
With symmetry. And So my instinct would be, oh man, like your dad's only got one hand showing and your mom has two. That doesn't, that's not right. But
right.
But I'm wrong in thinking that. I think this looks better. This looks great. Like it wouldn't occur to me to say that, hey, that's fine. Absolutely. You know, but go ahead and have two and your dad have one and it looks great.
Yeah, and there was one or two where his hand, his other arm is kind of around her shoulder. But I agree with you in that I actually didn't like that. I didn't find it as symmetrical. I actually found it, even though you're right, there's asymmetry with the hands. I didn't like having that hand anywhere else. And I mm-hmm. wanted them to be really close together. But I didn't like it when it was on her shoulder. So mm-hmm. This is the one I went with just because it was the most appealing to me immediately. It was one of those just sort of reactions that, yeah, I just like it. Don't have to explain too much about why in my head. Just I liked it by far the most.
Yep. Yep.
So there you have it. I'm trying to explain why I like it, but really I don't have an easy explanation.
No, you don't have to. And that's the thing is it's going to, my takeaway is going to be go ahead and I'm going to be okay with having different numbers of hands in the photo. I won't sleep. I'm not going to sleep if I take that picture.
Okay.
I mean, I don't understand. Like why would you buy, you know, who buys seven apples?
Right.
You know, you get eight or six. That's crazy.
That's the way it works.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In the Apple biz.
In my head anyways.
Did you take any interesting photos this week?
I actually shot a nice portrait of your folks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
With four hands.
Yeah. I had to have, well, four and then two and then none. So none is fine. None is symmetrical.
Right.
I shot a lot of video this week. A lot more. I just realized I haven't been shooting that much. Like I look back and obviously compare to how much video I shot of my daughter when she was however old my son is now. Two? I don't know. How old is he?
11.
Something like that. I don't know. So he's some months old now. And I look back at how much video I shot of my daughter and compared to him and think, oh, wow, I must hate this kid. But in reality, the video I shot of my daughter back then was just really boring. So now I've learned my lesson. Oh, good. You know, there she is sitting on the floor doing nothing again.
Right.
But I shot a lot of video because of Easter. We had Easter here. And I shot some, my kid got a bike, as we'll learn in the photo challenge.
Right.
And so I shot some video of that experience, of her learning to ride a bike, which was kind of fun. That's it. Just video. The rest we can move on from.
Okay.
Photo challenge. Now,
right.
I had thought it was, you'd said Easter, I said happiness. I thought we went together with Easter happiness.
I thought we just went with happiness.
Fair enough.
I think it was your challenge. I think I said, oh, are we going to do something Easter? And then you topped it with, let's just make this one an easy one and open-ended and happiness.
I thought we agreed on, that's okay. I understand where the communication breakdown happened. Because yours is not Easter.
No, I have Easter photos. I could have put an Easter one, but I went with happiness because I thought this photo was a better, my photo is a better depiction of happiness. This one was.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's look at it then. So it's
this happy. Was my sister-in-law's birthday that we were celebrating on the weekend. So she came over for dinner and we had a couple of little cupcakes that we got from the cupcake place and
what do they sell at the cupcake place?
They sell cupcakes.
A lot of steaks.
Yeah. Oh. So, but it's a cupcake specialty place. So they're everywhere nowadays. But that's what we did. Rather than bake anything homemade for my sister-in-law, was hey, let's go to the cupcake place and get a few cupcakes. So this is it. So we wanted to take a blowing out the candle picture. It's kind of a traditional thing that I always do, whether it's my kids or sister-in-law or mother-in-law, whoever's birthday it is, like to take a simple photo. So snap this just as my wife put the candles down. I don't know who said what and why they're laughing, but this is pre-blowing out the candles, as you can see, and it was just a funny moment, and I thought, perfect, happiness, there you go.
Good job.
This is just a one light setup. So again, softbox with the grid on it. And a dark room. And so again, because I was intending to sort of get them blowing out the candles, I had sort of aimed the light from the top down. I was going to hopefully get some nice catch lights, but yeah, as you can see, they're all looking down in this photo. So, and eyes are closed. So you get a totally different look, but, that's why the light was placed as it is in this photo.
So you have it off to the camera left, and that's what's giving you the, the backlight as well?
No, I actually have, it's front and slightly left. And then I have another, light sort of in behind them to give the backlight.
So that's not a one light setup then?
No, oh, sorry. Did I say one light?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. This is a two light setup.
Okay, that makes a little more sense now.
Yeah, yeah. So that on my daughter's hair and sister-in-law's hair and that and shoulder, that's all the rear light set really low.
Great.
Yeah, so there you go. Two light. See, I really go all out for a birthday shot. This is rare. I think normally I do a one light, but this was the rare situation where I'm like, I'm going to do two lights.
I've done that. I've go through phases where it's like, I'm going to have three lights. I'm going to borrow a light. I'm going to do four lights, you know, and really go all out. And then I scaled it back to one light. Now I look for no lights.
Yeah.
Can I do no lights?
So I do no lights seldom inside, unless if it's outside, absolutely try to do no lights. Inside, love to use. I mean, I've got the lights and I love them. So how could I not use them? I'm looking to buy a strobe now, a studio strobe. I need more lights.
Well, that's easy. You can whip it out, plug it in, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
I do like that. I get tired of batteries, you know, in and out.
Yes.
I do not leave batteries in my flashes.
No?
No, I never leave them in. That just drains them. And if you have a battery that leaks, now you're going to end up possibly corroding the inside of your flash. It could be a mess.
You're a worrier.
No, I'm just practical.
You're a practical worrier.
Well, you leave your batteries in your flash. It does drain them, even if it's off.
That may be true. I have lots of rechargeable batteries, though. I'm not too worried about it.
True, but I understand. So that's there are some times when I will leave them in if I know I'm going to shoot the next day or something like that. But generally, I don't. I use every bit of power that I can. Not because I'm, you know, I like the earth or something like that. It's just more practicality on my end. I need every flash I can, every pop I can get.
But the thing about that is that, I mean, oftentimes I just, in a moment, I want a photo and I want to use flash, and then it's just all ready to go. Now you've got an extra 20 seconds to load and, you know, now maybe you missed your shot.
I have missed plenty of shots like that, yes. Yeah, that's true. But I saved a couple milliamps, so...
That's true, that's true, all right.
You know, that's more important at the end of the day.
Okay, do you have any critique for my photo?
No, my daughter woke up and came and sat with me in the middle of this, so...
I heard her go, I heard her with her heavy breathing.
That's her, yeah. Do you want to say hello to the people, sweetie? No, she doesn't.
No.
Interested. No, I...
How do you say frozen in German?
Gefriert. But I think it's just called Frozen here.
Okay.
Or it's actually, technically, it's called The Princess Show.
The Princess Show.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, like it. It is definitely a very good birthday picture. It's not your typical birthday snapshot that I see on Facebook.
Yeah.
So it looks good. Obviously, I'd like to see catchlights, but everyone is squinting with their laughter. So what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? And I actually like it for that. Like, again, it's different. I mean, I get too much in the way of needing everything to be technically just so. And this is one of those ones that I just like. And I like it better than the ones that follow where they're blowing out the candles and there's catch lights. I just like it because it's a moment. And that's it.
It is.
Because those other photos, you know, even though they're technically good, they look like, again, they look staged, I think, is what happens.
That's true. That can happen. And, no, and everybody's having a pretty good time here. Definitely, there's no confusion as to whether this is happy or not.
Right. Okay, let's have a look at yours.
All right, so here's, this actually is the Easter happiness, because for Easter, for the last, I don't know, 4 months, my daughter has said that the Easter Bunny should bring her a purple bike.
Okay.
And Lille Farad. She wanted a bike, and so... I don't want to tell the whole story because she's sitting here right now and will understand. And suddenly the subterfuge will be over.
Right.
Of how the purple bike came about. But rest assured...
The Easter Bunny laid it.
He did that. Yeah. But rest assured that it was not always purple.
Oh no!
Somebody had to dismantle that piece by piece and repaint it. So it was blue and it was red and yellow.
Okay.
But no longer. So anyway, so the Easter Bunny brought her a purple bike. Now the company here, this I should point out that the company is a very, very popular company in Germany for bikes. It's the number one bike manufacturer for kids. It's called Pukki.
Oh, I thought it was Pukki.
Yes, I understand. I don't think they did international research on that name.
Right.
And so it is pretty funny. You get used to it. Like, it's when I first saw it here, I thought, oh, holy, what are you thinking? But now, because I've seen it everywhere for a number of years, it doesn't register like that anymore.
Right.
But I understand it does in North America. It does sound kind of a weird name. Anyway, so that's her getting her bike, her first day, taking it out. And we had a great day to shoot. This is, again, a no-light photo. Besides the sun, we'll count that. Okay, one light, and it was nicely overcast, and so that kind of gave us a nice even light. So I jumped on the opportunity and had her pose in the grass because I knew it would kind of give a nice all-round background.
Okay,
so this is the 70-200. I think probably at around 200 millimeters at f/4, and I'm standing way back just so I wanted the background to melt. And it's actually a hill. It's not just a straight flat behind her.
Right.
So it is a bit of a hill, which gives us that backdrop. And there she is, happy that she got her bike.
I like it. My only critique of it would be the, whatever it is, the tree or whatever in the back left is kind of distracting.
There's actually a tiny bit of Photoshop involved in this because there was a gravel path in the background, just kind of hinting into the picture. That I removed, and I debated on removing that tree or not, and then ended up, as you can see, not.
Okay.
So, you know what? It could go.
I would probably smooth it out, just because it doesn't help the photo at all, and it distracts from the cute picture from of her daughter.
Yeah, definitely.
And it does nothing to help it. Yeah, and the line where the whatever the dandelions or whatever the little on the ground are, like, to me, beyond that, like, doesn't add anything to the photo other than it's just a green texture, but it does distract right. A little bit. Yeah,
that is a creek there. The dandelions are at the edge of a creek. The creek's just falls off and then picks up again, but you can't see,
gotcha.
You can't see the creek from this angle. So there you go. So yeah,
and I think and the only reason I think it distracts is just because the rest of the background is just so bland and out of the photo, right? Like, which is good. Like, I have no problem with it, except for a lot going on in that corner.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll tell my daughter's smiling face that Adam sees that stick before he sees your face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty good looking stick, though.
It is a good looking stick. It's probably the most attractive stick in all of Tubingen. We get tours, buses come by.
Yeah.
And people get that cute kid out of the foreground, please.
Yeah.
We're going to Photoshop. I'm going to start Photoshopping that stick into other pictures.
Well, I was going to say, you've heard of the ugly stick. This is its good-looking sister.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, there you go. And the good news is she got the bike, and then the next day rode it, which was...
Oh, I saw the videos. I thought that's pretty impressive. Maybe she can come teach Jack how to ride his bike.
Well, possibly this summer will come out.
Yeah.
It's
he'll come to her camp. She can instruct him in her camp.
Well, did Jack have a run bike, though?
He hated it. We got him one, and he wanted zero to do with it.
Really?
So, yeah. Just wasn't into it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably
why. He goes out on his bike and like there's no training wheels on it or anything, and he occasionally tries to crash it into somebody's car. but you know, we don't spend enough time with our kids on bikes. Like, Jack and I much prefer to go out and play street hockey than ride bikes. So it's a little bit on me. So yeah, he's gonna have a hell of a wrist shot, but yeah, he'll be the last kid in his class that's riding a bike. I mean, I'll publicly shame him at some point so that he can get into biking. But
I don't think kids ride bikes anymore, do they?
Not to the same extent. I don't think to the same extent.
What happens when he sees E.T. and is like, oh man, I want a Kuahara, and then you're like, but I can't ride it?
You know the best part of that? We watched E.T., I don't know, 3 months ago. They loved it. They really? Loved E.T. But he never asked about the bike.
No? No. Because when remember when we were kids, it was like, okay, I guess we're all getting Kuoharas now. You know?
Yeah.
And of course, and then the rich kids got the factory Kuis. And I had the Apollo, a Kui.
Right.
You know, which is sort of the cheaper knockoff. And the rich kids did let me know that I didn't have an actual Kui.
Right.
And then if I went over a serious jump, there was a major threat that my bike would just collapse under me and I would be killed. So that was the thing.
Okay.
But I could still do a good skid with that.
All right.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I had a red rally.
Oh, yeah. Those were terrible.
No, it was awesome. Big banana seat on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But,
yeah.
But
E.T.'s I wish brother, I had that bike.
Did E.T.'s brother, I think his name is Mike in the movie. Is his name Mike?
Is his name Mike? I think it is Mike.
Mike or Michael, probably.
Yeah. I think it's Michael, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't ride a red rally.
No, he didn't.
This week's topic. I don't know what to call it. I'm going to go with attachable bounce board.
Okay.
Because
sounds good.
You can attach it right to your camera. This is something, it's a do-it-yourself kind of thing.
I love it. I love do-it-yourself anything.
Yes, me too. Except for dentistry.
Yeah, that's true.
That one, I won't lie to you, I've run into trouble on that one before. Yeah.
I was going to say piercing.
No, that one I'm good with. That one that's it depends. Depends on what you're piercing.
Yeah.
But generally it's you're fine. This one is inspired, loosely put, by a post a few months back on Strobist, on David Hobby's website.
Okay.
Where he was basically taking some photos of through a bounce board that he had made. I'll put a link to it because it's a great idea, but I kind of tweaked it a little bit, because in that, I think he had an assistant. I'm trying to remember back. It's been a few months. He had an assistant holding it, or it was, on stands and he's shooting through it because it's a very large bounce board.
Okay.
However, I thought about it, and remember I took some pictures I told you about a couple weeks back with those kids in the backyard, and I said, hey, yes, this is the technique we're going to talk about. That's how I shot them. And so what I did was basically make a bounce board out of cardboard, cut a small hole in it for my lens to go through, and it just mounts on the lens. You can walk around with the bounce board attached to your camera.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to talk about, how to make that today and why we're doing it. So where do we start?
Tell us how to make it.
Well, here's the thing is I wanted something simple to just add a flick of light into the subject's face. And that's what this is for. It's much, much less than a flash, than a fill flash, which it's good and bad. Because, you know, obviously you don't get as much power, but it's a lot more subtle. So this is just something to just sort of bring out the shadows a little bit, just to add a little bit of glow to people's faces in certain situations.
And so you're bouncing the sun. This is an outdoor technique.
I mean, in theory, you could bounce anything. If you wanted to, you know, backlight them with a flash or something, you could bounce that into their face too. But I generally use it for the sun, or even on a somewhat overcast day, you're still going to get a little bit of light coming in to people's faces. That's what I like about this.
Okay.
There's actually a lot to like about this. And that's one of the things. So first things first, go find yourself some white cardboard.
Has to be white?
It doesn't have to be white, but for your own sake, for versatility, it's nice if one side is white.
Okay.
Because that way we're going to add tinfoil to the other side. And now you have options. You have a white side to add a little bit of bounce, or you got tinfoil to really hammer it in there. And most times, if you can't find white, don't worry about it. Most times, I'm going to use the tinfoil side anyways.
Okay.
But if you want to have that, you know, in your back pocket, white's a good way to go. Now, the size of the cardboard is up to you, or the size of the refrigerator you bought. But keep in mind, this is going to be mounted to your lens. You're going to be walking around with it, so you decide how big this is going to be.
Okay.
You don't want it too small because you're not going to get the effect, but too big and you're not going to be portable and mobile with it. So I'm trying to think of how big mine is. I'm going to guess. I don't know, 2 feet across, maybe a foot and a half high.
Well, that seems pretty big.
Pretty big. Maybe it's smaller than that. I can't tell. It's about this big. This big here.
You're holding your hands up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so anyways, so, but I mean, there's no real hard and fast rules on this. And the good news is it's so cheap that you can make a bunch of them and figure out what you like the best. Next step. Okay. What I do is you need to basically trace a circle and cut a hole in the middle for your lens because you're going to be shooting right through this, right?
Okay.
What I do is I pull the lens hood off, place it on the cardboard where I want it, generally pretty much as close to the center as I can without measuring because that just takes too much time, and just use it to trace a circle around the inside of the lens hood.
Okay.
This will be generally the size that you need to go on top of your onto your lens. And then if you have like an X-Acto type knife blade of some sort, we have, I forget what we have, but something like an X-Acto blade, some ceramic thing or something for arts and crafts, go ahead and cut that circle out.
Okay.
Now, you don't need to be exact with it because, you know, you're not going to see it, of course. And it's likely going to be just a little bit smaller than your lens, which is good because you want a nice tight fit. You want it to pop over your lens. That's it. Now you got yourself a quick and dirty fill. Oh, put tinfoil on. Did I say that yet?
No.
Okay, get some aluminum foil and some little bit of Scotch tape or something like that, whatever tape you want, and basically cover the front side of it. The side that your subject is going to see, cover that with tinfoil.
Okay.
Okay. Now you pop it on your lens, put the lens hood back on, that locks it in place.
Right.
And now you're walking around, you got yourself a cheap and dirty little fill light. Now, it's not a ton.
But you look like a complete, you know, crazy person.
Or pro. Well, it's not a tinfoil helmet, Adam. It's...
It might as well be.
I disagree. I mean, there is that. You bring up an interesting point because some people look at you like, that guy is crazy. But some people might look at that and think, that guy is revolutionary. Yeah. Like, he must really know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And yeah. It absolutely positively becomes a conversation piece.
Right.
Which is a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Depends if you like conversating or not.
I do not.
Yeah, I don't really either, but let's say you're going to take a bunch of pictures of strangers or something like that. Like we've done before, and I highly recommend people do to go out and take you know, with permission, of course, ask people to take their portrait. But just a series of impromptu portraits on the street with this thing, you're going to get great results. Simply because people are going to look at you like, wow, this is interesting, and they can't help but smile looking at this thing.
And also, you should wear a tinfoil helmet when you do this.
It's not going to hurt. it's not going to do too much damage.
Right.
So there is that. So now how do we go about using this? Well, as I mentioned, it'll work. It's, you know, it's good for the sunny days, but it'll work in kind of overcast days as well. It's not going to work at nighttime in the dark.
Are you tipping it around, like, you know, when you're composing your photo, or because when we use a normal bounce board, often you have to, you know, manipulate it to get the light where you want it, or are you just pretty much some light's going to bounce into their face?
Pretty much some light's going to bounce into their face, but I do adjust where I stand. Like, I do adjust the bounce board, but that also adjusts the camera as well and your framing. So you have to be aware of that. And so generally what I'm going to try to do is put, you know, the subject somewhat in front of the sun. So the sun is behind the subject, coming in as like probably like a three-quarter backlight.
Okay.
And that way we're going to get a decent background, and the sunshine is going to bounce off this bounce board into the subject's face and light it up. And so that's generally what I look for. If it's cloudy, I don't worry about it too much at all. Just getting in close adds, and this is one of those situations where it adds such a small amount of light that you probably aren't going to notice when it's there. You would notice if it's not there, but just barely. Like, this is really a subtle effect. as you can imagine, this is going to work better if it's a larger piece of cardboard.
Right.
You know, you're just going to bounce more light, but it becomes comes down to how much do you want to carry around with you? You know, what is physically possible? If it's too small, the effect is going to be really, you know, hard to see. So you kind of got to find that happy medium of you know, a functionality versus effect. And I can't really tell you what's going to work. It's going to be, you know, what you like the best. Now, one of the things that is going to be feel kind of strange is that with the camera up to your face, you're not going to see the subject except for through the lens.
Right.
So you are kind of cut off. I guess like those old, you know, the old view cameras where you're under the black hood.
Right.
Same kind of thing. You're obscured from the person. So it's kind of odd at first, but you get over it because you can see everything through the lens anyways. Now, also, as I'm sure you can imagine, is this is going to work best in close range.
Right.
Because just due to the physics of the way the light's going to bounce. And so generally, you're going to end up shooting with a wider lens in order to make this happen. So I shoot with a 50 millimeter on a full frame camera for the best use of this effect, and which means I'm getting in close and isn't always the best perspective for a typical portrait. But I find it to be a lot of fun. Like, it's a really intimate kind of thing. Like, you're right in there with the person. And it's difficult for your subject to be grouchy when you're in that close with this giant tinfoil thing in their face. And so it makes for an interesting effect.
Mm-hmm.
So
you say it's difficult for them to be grouchy.
Difficult for them to be grouchy. It is. Because you're so close to them. But you're not. You're behind this tinfoil thing. I have not experienced any grouchiness yet.
Okay.
I've not photographed you with it yet, though.
Or my wife, because that's it's going to be what's going to happen.
You think so?
That I'm going to photograph my wife with this technique and she'll be grouchy.
You know, I don't think she'll be grouchy at all.
All right, we'll see.
This is a fun thing. Don't pre-prep her.
For grouchiness?
Yeah. I guess pre-prep is kind of redundant because that's what prep is. So, yeah, don't taint her with the fact that you think she's going to be grouchy. I'm interested to find out. I bet your kids love it.
Okay, I'll try.
And that makes for a fun portrait as well. So there's that. And I have mine. The reason I use it on the 50 pretty much exclusively is because I have it cut a certain size, and so it fits on my 50 and my 85 the same, but I don't really use the 85 with it that much because you have to be further back to get a good image.
Right.
Yeah, that's an owl. And so generally, and it doesn't fit on my 17 to 40 because it's a wider lens. So that's why I use it with the 50.
Okay.
So that's it. That's how to create the thing. And I'll post a picture of it. Well, it'll be the album art, I'm sure. So people know what it is that, you know, I'm talking about.
Right.
So I highly recommend you make one because, A, you know, they're very, very cheap. You can throw them in the trunk of your car and go with you anywhere you want. And get good results. And you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Well, I want you to walk around Safeco Field with this thing.
Yeah, but I'm going to make it way bigger than you're talking about it.
Is that right?
Huge.
Oh, okay. So out of what kind of car? Where are you getting the cardboard? What's it going to be?
I don't know. Maybe do cars come in cardboard?
I think they do.
When they get shipped, you know, they from the factory, they put them in a big Honda box or whatever.
I assume they come in a Honda box, yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'd look at, something like that. Or if you buy an elephant,
yeah,
that's something else I would consider. So
okay.
There you go. That's it. That is
okay.
Make that bounce. So guess what that means? Next week's challenge: use that bounce board.
Okay.
So the technical term will be the attachable bounce board challenge.
Great.
Yeah, ABBC. Yep. Websites. We didn't talk about Amazon at the top of the show. We want to thank
you. I know. Amazon.
Everybody.
Now nobody's going to buy anything from Amazon.
People are doing it. And I want to. At this point, mostly I'm thanking people for doing it, for helping support the show and helping, you know, buy muesli for my kid and by buying things through Amazon. So keep up the good work. Thanks very much. And that's that. Adam, where can people find your stuff? Your wife's blogging on a regular basis, man.
Yeah, sometimes on SchwartzChronicles.com and sometimes on Two Hosers Facebook.
Great.
And your stuff.
You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com and the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links for all this on Flickr, Twitter, something else. What else is there?
No, I think that's it.
Those are the only errs?
I think so.
Okay. Facebooker. That's sure. On there. So you can find all that at twohosers.com. And hopefully t-shirts soon.
Great.
T-shirts. And we're going to talk, I guess we'll talk next week about what's going to happen this summer. Should we talk about it next week?
Sure.
Since we haven't...
It's a teaser.
We haven't really talked about it off air yet in any great detail.
Right.
So we'll talk about this summer. It could be a big summer. So there you go. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.